Let's jump into the book, Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. Hallelujah. Then he answered and spoke unto me, saying, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying," listen to this, "not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Come on, can we just say that and declare it today? "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Come on, can we say it one more time just to make the devil mad? "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." How many of you know that the Holy Ghost ain't lazy, but he's got a job to do? Amen? How many of you know that he doesn't take a day off, and he doesn't call in sick, and he doesn't say, "Well, you deal with it today because I'm out of energy and out of power"? But that promise back then in Zechariah's day is here in this day, in this hour, and it'll be here forever. God still does it by the power of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Let's pray. Father, I love you and praise you, God, for what you've already done in this service this morning. I thank you for the atmosphere that we feel and the charge of your Holy Ghost here in this place. Father, I ask you, Lord, just to anoint me with a special anointing from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Let everything that I say be your words, everything that I speak your everything that I think your thoughts, God, everything that I do your actions. And Lord, I ask you, God, just to let people that are here today, those watching by means of media, God, let them be touched. Let this change our outlook and our perspective. And God, let it be a reminder that you're the same today that you always have been. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. And everybody said, amen. I want to say this little old statement. It's not a formal way of saying something, but I'm just going to say it. You may hear me say it a few times a day. The Holy Ghost ain't lazy. Come on, the Holy Ghost ain't lazy. I know a lot of people in today's time, we like to take a day off. We like to take a vacation. We like to chill out, cancel the calendar events, and just maybe go hide, maybe go lock ourselves at home. Some of us go to the beach. Some of us go to the mountains. Some of us take cruises. Some of us just go to the lake for the afternoon, and we have a lazy day. Y'all know what I'm talking about. The grass can mow itself, or we'll do it tomorrow. The kids, hey, y'all got Lunchables. There's drinks in the fridge. Y'all take care of your business. We ain't cooking. We ain't cleaning. We ain't going nowhere doing nothing. We just going to have a lazy time. Come on. Maybe you've been really busy, and you need to take a day off to keep your mental sanity. I get it. I promise. There's times that I tell Amy, I just got to go to sleep. And I'll just go home, and I'll just go to sleep. Shut the door. Sleep. And 8 hours, 10 hours, 14 hours later, I'll come out, and I'm good for another 6 months. Praise the Lord. You can only run on 4 hours to 5 hours of sleep a night for so long before you just got to have a day. Amen? So, but here's the reality of it. This flesh and this bone and these nerves and these organs and this all this calorie deficiency that we feel at times, we don't understand how the Holy Ghost operates. He's not confined to flesh and bone. He's not confined to needing a nap. He's not confined to taking a day off. But he is supernatural. Come on. He supersedes the natural need for rest. He supersedes the natural need to take a break. And I'm so glad that he is, because when I have to take a break, and when I have to lay down, and when I have to take a little time away, the Holy Ghost does it. He takes up the slack for me. Praise God. So I want to encourage you today, the Holy Ghost is not, he's not lazy, but he has a job to do. He has a job. He's not on unemployment. He's not on welfare. He's got a job. And guess what? Everything that God ever said he was going to do, he's done it. His promise is not going to lie. His promise is not going to come back void, but what he says happens. Many believers, we all, I believe in here, have heard or read or have experienced the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. You go around every church in town is quote-unquote spirit-filled if you ask them. Come on. But here's the reality of it. Many of us have failed to understand that he is active 24/7, 365. Come on, somebody. It doesn't look like he's there, but he's there. You may not hear him speak, but he's talking. You may not sense his presence, but I'm here to tell you, he's right there beside you. He's an omnipresent, ever-present, never going to leave God. And he's right here in an active ministry for your life. The Holy Ghost was not sent merely just to give us an emotional experience. The Holy Ghost didn't just come so you could talk in tongues. The Holy Ghost didn't just come so that you could get a little goosebump on the end of your little toe. The Holy Ghost didn't just come so you can run the aisles or shout a shout or dance a jig, but the Holy Ghost came so that he could begin a work, complete the work, and hold on to the work until Jesus Christ comes back and we get into heaven's gates. As long as you're here in this earth, the words of Zechariah 4 and 6 are going to ring true. It's not going to be by might. It's not going to be by physical power. But the Holy Spirit of God is actively working all things together for your and my good. And it doesn't matter if we feel it or not. He's on the job. He's clocked in. And he is more efficient than ever before. He is doing the work that he has always been doing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jesus said in John chapter 16, he said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you." Somebody say for me. Jesus said, it's important for you. He was talking to the people there. He said, it's important to you. We're that same people. We're the church that was born then is still alive today. He said, it is important for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. How many know that the Spirit of the Lord is a comforter? Do you know that he is an ever-present help in the time of trouble? Do you know that he's that little strengthening factor, that little pep in your step, that little lifting of your downtrodden head that you feel when times are bad? He's that one that comes in when you feel all alone and you don't know what to do. And he gives you a little peace. He gives you a little energy. He gives you enough unction to take another step. He's the one when you're crying that comes in and can give you peace in the midst of the storm. No matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you're going through, he's the comforter. Come on. Anybody in here ever dealt with loneliness? Anybody ever felt like you might have been in a crowd of people right now in this church service and you feel like you're the only one that's here? You feel like no one sees you. You feel like no one understands you. You feel like no one loves you or no one cares for you. I'm here to tell you that's a lie from the devil. He ain't lazy. God's on the job. And if you'll let him, he will come wrap his loving arms around you and give you a hug like a grandmother or a mama never could even do. He'll hold you tight and he'll love on you, and he'll be with you no matter what you deal with and no matter what your circumstances. He's on the job, somebody. He's a comforter. I want you to listen to this. Sometimes there's comfort by feeling comfortable and feeling good. But let me tell you something that's a little funny. Sometimes the comforter shows up and he makes us feel uncomfortable. That sounds like an oxymoron. That sounds like some kind of a contradiction. But how many of you ever felt convicted of sin? I want you to hear me out in John 16 and 8. And when he comes, talking about the Holy Ghost, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. I want you to hear me this morning. I want you to listen very closely to what I have to say. What you feel when you've done something wrong that makes you feel guilty or makes you run away from that wrongdoing, it's not bad. Praise God for conviction. Because I'm here to tell somebody on a Sunday morning that when you feel conviction, you ought to shout, because that means that the Holy Ghost is working on your behalf. That means that the Spirit of the Lord is making you better and making you cleaner and redeeming you in ways that you didn't even know you needed. And some of us say, well, Brother Shelby, I've been saved a long time. Why am I still having to deal with that? Until you get to glory, we're going to feel conviction because we are a work in progress. Come on. There are little things that God has to pull out. There's little things that God needs to put in. There's little words that we say and thing conversations that we have and issues that we talk about. The Lord needs to take that out of our mouth and put his words in it. There's thoughts that we think. There's mindsets and daydreams and little things that we think in the back of our mind. God needs to take that stuff out, and he needs to put the mind of Christ within us. There's things that we do. I'm reminded of the little song, "Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you..." Remember? "Oh, be careful, little hands, what you touch. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. For the Father up above is looking down with love. Oh, be careful, little whatever, what you do. What makes us feel bad when we do wrong? The Holy Ghost. Oh, I'm glad. I'm here to tell you, when I take off down the wrong path and I feel that little tug of the Spirit pulling me back, I can grit my teeth, I can bear down on it, and I can grieve the Holy Ghost, and I can push through, I can be mule-headed. Some of y'all need to really shout on that one right there, because I'm looking at some people that I know good enough to see that we can all be mule-headed, amen? And we can bear down, and we can push, and we can kick against the pricks, and we can have our way. And I'm here to tell you, the whole time that we're running in the wrong direction, God's trying to pull us back. God's speaking back. God's saying, come on to me. He's pulling on us. I'm here to tell you, he don't take a day off, but on Saturday night, on Sunday morning, on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, if we have a need for correction, God is on the job. Conviction does not point us to despair and to rejection, but conviction points us to repentance. Conviction pushes us towards Christ, pulls us towards Christ. Condemnation, on the other hand, is the lie of the devil that says no matter what you do, better yet, no matter what he did, you're never going to be good enough. Did you catch that? Condemnation is the enemy coming and saying, you're not going to work out. It's not going to be good enough. You're going to fail. You're going to fall. You're going to mess up again. Might as well throw in the towel. Might as well go on down the road and do what you want to do, because nothing Jesus did is going to work for you. You're too bad. Right? You ever felt that? Ever heard that voice? Ever sensed that feeling? But I'm here to tell you, the Holy Ghost, if you'll let him do it, he's on the job. He'll say, hey, you messed up, you dropped the ball, you fell down, you tripped, you got entangled in the trap. But listen to me, I've got a God that didn't say forgive 7 times or 70 times, but he said 70 times 7. And if he said it to a man, how much more will the love of God redeem, restore, and rejuvenate you, bring you back into the fold, and make you a son and a daughter, put the robe on your back, the ring on your finger, and kill the fat calf just for you. That ought to be shouting grounds for everybody, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But I'm here to tell you, the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. And how do we receive that? Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit. Somebody say, the Spirit's working today. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit exposes sin because he desires restoration. He desired. You know God wants you to be in contact with him. You know God wants you to walk with him. You know God wants to talk with you and you talk with him. He wants to love you and you love him back. I can only imagine the heartbreak that the Lord must have felt whenever Adam and Eve sinned and directly disobeyed him and were separated from him. For 4,000 years, mankind was separated from God. But thank you, Jesus, that there was a little virgin named Mary that said, have your way, Lord. Do what you want to do, God. Let it be. Let it come to pass. And out of that womb of that little virgin girl was birthed Jesus of Nazareth, who was 100% God and 100% man. He can, in a sense, he reached up into heaven and he reached down into the earth and he pulled us both back together again. And we were restored in right standing where we could have a relationship with Jesus. You say, I want a relationship with Jesus. Well, praise God, the Spirit's still working. Oh, praise the Lord. He doesn't just reveal our need for Christ, and he doesn't just call us to repentance, but praise the Lord, he makes a way for us. The Bible says that we're baptized into one body through one Spirit. Somebody say the Holy Ghost. He doesn't just get you feeling bad about it, but he gives you access to get it fixed. Come on, somebody. I know I'm not taking away from the blood. I don't want you to think that for one instance. I don't want you to think that I'm discounting or discrediting the blood of Jesus Christ. But I'm here to tell you, if the Holy Ghost didn't draw you, you'd never find the cross on your own. I'm here to tell you, if the Holy Ghost didn't work on you, you'd never know you needed a Savior. Thank God for the blood, but thank Jesus for the Holy Ghost that brought you to it. Somebody ought to shout. Praise the Lord. Don't resist conviction. That's the natural knee-jerk reaction. Oh, I don't feel good about that. I'm not going to be around that. Uh-uh, get away from me. Holy Ghost, go mess with her. Some of us know what I'm talking about because we've pushed, we've shoved, we've got away from him. But I'm here to tell you, ain't it easy when you just surrender? Anybody in here would know what I'm talking about. It's like that old hitman said, you can run, but all that's going to make a difference is you're just going to die tired. Huh? Why don't you just say, okay, God, I'm out of breath and I'm tired of this. My way ain't working. I can't do it by my might. I can't make it work by my power. Just have your way, Lord. You know what's wonderful? When I see somebody that's been running from God and their life is pure D hell. Everything in their finances, their marriage, their mindset, their peace, all of it's jacked up. And then they've been doing it on their own for years and years. And then all of a sudden, they just surrender to God. And I watch the page turn and the dark things turn to light. The hard things get easy. Their marriage, their finances, their peace, their love, their joy, it all just comes together. And they may still have trouble and they may still have heartache, but they've got the spirit they were running from now propelling them and running with them. And I want you to hear me. If you'll surrender to God and not run from him, he's still working, he's still doing, and he'll do for you what he's done for others. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit's working. Somebody say he's working. He ain't scared, he's not lazy, he's working. What's he doing here? The Bible says that he's testifying of Jesus Christ. I want you to hear me, John 15:26. But when the Comforter is come, he shall testify of me. That's John 15:26. I want you to listen. There is no time that the Holy Ghost is going to tell you anything outside of Jesus. He's not going to tell you to do something by works. He's not going to tell you to do something by the power of self-will or self-motivation or this, that, and the other. The only thing that the Holy Ghost is ever going to testify about is what Jesus Christ did on Calvary's cross and what it paid for us to have access to. Did you hear me this morning? I don't care what anybody says. Jesus Christ is the center of it all. You can get anything else wrong and you can get it fixed. But if you get Jesus wrong, your foundation's off and you're going to have to tear down the entirety of what you've built. The Holy Spirit is not going to try to build you up on something outside of Jesus. Are you hearing me this morning? Some of us need to get this. He's not going to tell you this way or that way, a 12-step or a 30-step or an 80-step. The Holy Ghost is going to do it not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God through what Jesus has done. Let me read here. He never draws attention to just himself. Y'all going to get a little sideways with me, but I just want you to listen to me. I call it the Sholy Ghost. Hear me? Sholy Ghost. Not the Holy Ghost, the Sholy Ghost. The Sholy Ghost is a ghost, but it ain't holy. Did you hear me? In fact, it's a haint. It's a goblin. It's a flesh spirit. It's a showboat spirit. It's a look at me spirit. Look how God's using me spirit. It draws attention to itself and takes the spotlight off of Christ. Somebody ought to hear me. At some time in history past, there was an angel that got the Sholy Ghost. Did you hear me? He said, I sing better than anybody. I sparkle better than anybody. I have more talent and more ability than anybody. He said, look at me. Check out what I can do. And he said, I want to ascend up to the high places. I want to sit on the throne. I want to be like God. Are you picking this up? He took the camera off of God and said, zoom in on me. And you know what his name was? Lucifer, Satan, the deceiver. His name is the devil. Do you hear what I have to say this morning? When you get in the flesh, and the Sholy Ghost starts drawing attention from God and putting it on you, that is not the Holy Spirit working. That's you working on double time, trying to prove something that ain't there. What do you mean, Brother Shelby? I'm 100% for, if you got the Spirit of the Lord on you and you got to run the aisles, take off running. You want to run on pews? Run on pews. You want to dance, shout, speak in tongues, fast till your belly button pops off. I don't care if you shake down your hair, if you cut a backflip down the aisle. I don't care if you lay hands on everybody at St. Michael's. I don't care if you run to Africa to preach the gospel. That's the Holy Ghost, and you go after it, buddy. You go after it, girl. You go after it, bub. I'm here to tell you, I want you to do it. But what happens is somebody ought to just get off to do this, and you feel it, and you think, well, and you just conjure something up. And you take off just shouting and running and grabbing a hold and shaking people. One of the biggest pet peeves is when I go to meetings and somebody grabs somebody by the head and shoves them over like the Holy Ghost knocked them out. I ain't never again, there, you ain't going to ever see a courtesy fall out of me. You ain't using me to back up your false anointing. Do you hear me? I'm not going to confirm that the Holy Ghost has any power, because the Spirit of the Lord is on double time duty trying to take care of His work, and we've got charlatans and fleshly folks saying, what about me? What about me? What about you? Get in the altars and get saved. Because the Holy Ghost is working. Somebody say He's working. And He is testifying of Jesus Christ. What did the Lord say? He said, if I'll be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. What are you saying? I'm here to tell you, when Jesus is magnified, He'll draw people. He'll work it out. He'll heal. He'll save. He'll deliver. He'll make things happen. He'll bring in the backslider. He'll bring in the prodigals. He'll make people delivered from drugs and alcohol abuse. He'll put marriages back together. So why would we take away from what the Holy Ghost is doing because we want a show that's all about us? Praise the Lord. I know that this is the middle. I got a good thing at the end. It's like a sandwich. You're in the meat right now, okay? We're going to throw a little light bread on the end in a minute. A little mayo, mustard, maybe a pickle or two. Just hold fast. It's going to be better. This is good, okay? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He never draws attention to Himself. His ministry is to reveal who Jesus is. Do you hear me today? Do you hear me today? Do you know that you found Jesus because of the pull of the Holy Ghost? Do you hear me? You didn't find Jesus just by opening up the Bible. The Lord led you there. Praise God. He comforts the truth, or He confirms, I'm sorry, He confirms the truth of the gospel. Do you know that the same Holy Ghost, the same Spirit that invaded that borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea and quickened that mortal dead body of Jesus, that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you? Do you know that? That's what the Bible says. And do you know how people knew that Jesus was God? Because He didn't just talk it. He healed the sick, raised the dead, cleansed the lepers, gave sight to the blind, opened deafened ears, gave strength to legs. He cast out devils. He did all of those things. Why? How? His body was flesh. His body was human, but His Spirit was God. He came out of the wilderness after being tempted and tried and fasted for 40 days. He walked out of that wilderness into a synagogue in his local town, opened up a scroll, the book of Isaiah, and He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and hath anointed me." Do you hear me? That same Spirit, if my God help us, that same Spirit that confirmed Jesus back then is the same Spirit that will confirm Jesus today. And when we preach that God heals, the Holy Ghost still moves on people's cancer and dries it up. It still moves on people's eyes and they see. It still moves on people's hearts and it begins to live again. The same Spirit that confirmed Jesus 2,000 years ago is the same Spirit that confirms Him today. Why? Because the gospel message must be preached and people must believe it. And nobody's going to believe dead religion. That's why the church worldwide is falling apart. Because they've forsaken the operation and the work of the Holy Ghost. They're trying to build things when they've got the greatest worker that ever was. They're trying to do things, but they're rejecting the construction team that the Holy Ghost has. I'll tell you what will fill up a church quicker and faster than anything else. If everybody in the church that had diabetes don't have diabetes no more. And if every person in the church that walked with a gimp got to walk straight again. And every person that's marriage was falling apart, their marriages came back together again. And every person in the church that had kids running amok, they all came home. I want to tell somebody this. You're never going to see that as long as you've got your hands on it. But the moment you say, go Holy Ghost, go Holy Ghost, do your work, do your will, confirm who Jesus is. I'm going to tell you, it's a sign and it's a wonder, and God's waiting on us to say, have your way. Do your work. Do your work. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit shows us things to come. Come on, He's working, revealing stuff. How many of you need a fresh revelation? Every hand in this place ought to be up. I'm here to tell you, it does not matter what you think you know. There's always something else in this book. There's always something else God wants to show you. There's always a pitfall around the corner that the Holy Ghost needs to reveal so you don't run off into it. You put somebody on this stage that's never been on this stage before blindfolded, and you turn them loose, they're going to walk down this thing and bust their head open. But if you're there to hold their hand in the midst of it, they may not can see it, but you can. That's how the Holy Ghost works. He's a revealing God. He shows us and He leads us and He guides us and He gives us warnings about things to come. Why do you think the gift of discernment is so important? Huh? Have you ever noticed that every gift of the Spirit is just a magnified, bigger example of what every believer already has? Huh? I lost you. You can do every one of the gifts of the Spirit, whether you have it or not, in a small form. But when you have that extra anointing, that extra gifting, that special gifting, then you can do it on bigger scales. Did you hear me? The gift of faith. Well, you already have faith, right? Okay. The gift of healing. These signs will follow them that believe in my name. They'll cast out devils. Speak with new tongues, lay hands on the sick, they'll recover, drink any deadly thing, take up serpents, all that stuff. Well, that's the believer. How about the gift of miracles? Well, that falls in there too. These works that I do, you'll do greater works because I go to my Father. That's the promise of the Lord. What are you saying, Brother Shelby? We need to quit acting like the Holy Spirit only works on certain people. And I know who taught it, and I know why they taught it. People that controlled folks or wanted to control folks made it. It was the Sholy Ghost is what it was. My ministry is so good. Send me your sick people only. Come to my meetings. Come to my conferences. Pay tithes. Come be involved. Buy my book. Watch my show. For a gift of $10,000, I'll send you a bookmark. Huh? I'm preaching, okay? I'm telling the truth. I'm declaring truth right now. Just listen to me carefully. And so what we did is we began to think, oh, well, this is a special, only that one person in the whole world, we better go there. How many of us have ever driven to meetings to get healed? Huh? We've all done it. A lot of us have. Go here, go there, go this conference. Oh, it's going to be so good. Maybe I'll finally get what I need from Jesus. What? We've all been guilty of it. And I get it, sometimes the anointing moves in special ways, and sometimes there are special calls on people's life, but I'm here to tell you, it ain't the call that heals, it's the faith behind it. It ain't, my God help us, it ain't a name on a billboard or a name on a ministry or a denomination over the sign, but it's the name above all names, J-E-S-U-S, Jesus Christ, who was, who is to come, the same yesterday, today, and forever, the great I am, the one that was, that is. Come on, somebody, that's what it's about. And the Holy Ghost will reveal things to you so you can do uncommon stuff that maybe you don't even know you can do. You're stronger than you think you are. You're anointed more than you think you are. You're empowered more than you think you are. You want me to prove it with one scripture? God is not a respecter of persons. If He did it for A.A. Allen, Oral Roberts, R.W. Shambach, He can do it for Ben and Lindsay. He can do it for Brother Bill. He can do it for the person that just walked in this church for the first time. It's not a Kenneth Copeland, Jesse Duplantis, Billy Graham. None of that stuff matters. All that matters is if God reveals something to you to do it, He's got the power to back it up. And that's Pentecostal, Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Lutheran, agnostic. If God reveals himself and you're obedient enough to do it, God will confirm his work. John 16 and 13. If you'll bow there with me. John 16 and 13. Praise the Lord. I'm going to get y'all out of here in time today. It's going to be good. And he will show you things to come. I'm just going to stop right there. He will show you things to come. Do you know why people are scared to death about the return of Christ? Number one, most folks aren't ready. Number two, because they're ignorant, because they haven't let the Spirit teach them. There ain't nothing about this book that your flesh can comprehend. This is a fictional storybook if you take out the essence of the Holy Spirit writing it. If men wrote this, it's no different than a Webster's Dictionary. Gulliver's Travels, Treasure Island, that's all this is. But the moment you put what it is into the factor, the moment that you realize that this wasn't men writing this, but this was the Holy Ghost writing this, you ain't got it yet. This ain't fiction. The Holy Ghost was hard at work writing this book. The Holy Spirit invaded prison cells and unctioned Paul to write epistles to churches that were doing things wrong. The Holy Ghost, my God in heaven, the Holy Ghost came on the backside of the wilderness and grabbed a guy named Moses and said, come look at this burning bush. The Holy Ghost came and grabbed a fish out of the depths of the sea to come swallow up a man named Jonah. And then he inspired him to go preach deliverance to Nineveh. This ain't a book about fables and stories, but this is the word, unadulterated word of God. And as the Spirit of the Lord began to write it and began to reveal it and began to show it to men, they were overcome and they wrote it down. But I'm here to tell you, the Bible says that if all the works that Jesus did was to be recorded in a book, that this whole world couldn't even contain it. I'm talking about a book that's so big that it's bigger than the planet. It'd be so many pages, so many lines upon lines, words after words. Nobody would be able to contain it. You say, how? Because I'm here to tell somebody, there was millions of people that got delivered from Egyptian bondage. We only know a few of the stories. But if we were to write down all of the little things that God did for those generations while they were in Egypt, the book would be as big as this church. We only know about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But what about the others that were taken over and how God brought that nation and brought that generation through? I'm here to say this. I only know what Jesus did for Shelby. And I only know a little bit about what Jesus did for one or two of you. But if we were to write down everything that the Spirit of the Lord has done for us, well, a book would be huge. What am I saying? He's not lazy, but he's working. And he's revealing things to come. We've got to understand. And this ain't in my notes, but I'm going to get here. Pull up Revelation chapter 1, bub. Let me get it. Find exactly what verse it is. Give me a second. Praise the Lord. Revelation chapter 1. This is going to be verse 1. Should have known that. The revelation of... Come on, somebody. The revelation of what? I want you to hear me out. People are scared about what's coming down the line. They don't want to talk about the mark of the beast. They don't want to talk about animals coming out of the ground and big, huge things stinging people and stuff flying here and there. They don't want to talk about the rapture. They don't want to talk about the 7 years this, the 3.5 years that, and the other. I want you to listen to me. It's not about doom, gloom, bad things, but this is the revelation of who Jesus is. And he's going to finish in this last book in the days to come what he said he was going to do 6,000 years ago in the Garden of Eden. We got to have direction. There's people out there that hate folks, particularly the Jews right now. There is such a revival of anti-Semitism, Jew-hating, spirit of Antichrist mess. I know they're not born again. I know they're going to go to hell. But God ain't done with them. Aren't you glad God didn't get done with you when you were on your way to hell? Aren't you glad that God didn't forsake you just because you weren't born again yet, but God kept pushing and God kept pulling and finally you came in? I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in a few years from now. Those Jews that hate Jesus right now, they're going to be about to be pushed into the sea, and the Antichrist and his armies are coming, and they're going to just about have them licked. But the Bible says that the sky is going to roll back like a scroll, and the Bible says that there's one that's coming. He's riding a white horse. There's fire in his eyes. He's blood. His vesture's dipped in blood. He's holding a scepter and a sword, and he's coming back. He's not just coming back for a church. He's coming back for the Jews too. They hate him, but they're going to love him. Why? Because he's going to reveal who he is. But there's people that are weird. They don't understand what's coming, so they're buying in all this lying devil antichrist spirit. I'm here to tell you, the same devil that had Haman and Herod and Hitler is the same spirit that's trying to take over now. It's the spirit of Antichrist. But I want you to listen to me. You got to make yourself malleable and pliable to the Holy Ghost, because he's working. And he's trying to reveal things to you. He's going to show you things to come. He's going to give you guidance for your decisions. He's going to give you wisdom for your life's journey. He's going to warn you of danger. He's going to show you things. He's going to give you peace before the storm even hits. He's going to reveal God's purpose in your life. What am I saying? The Holy Ghost is working, revealing things. Romans 8 and 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We've got to understand and recognize his voice. And when he speaks, take it for what it is. It's a revelation, and it's important. If the police called your house and say, don't go on the road, there's a big obstacle, a problem, you'll die, we'd not leave the house. Or some of us would ride down there to go look at it. But when the Holy Ghost speaks to you at 3 o'clock in the morning, we just roll over and go back to sleep. Take another jug of NyQuil and go on about it. Praise the Lord. But we've got to understand that he's working hard to reveal things for us. Lastly is this. Do you know that you did not just get the Holy Ghost so that you could be effective in the church? So that you could have a good house? So that you could raise your family correctly? That's not all it stops. It does not stop there. The Holy Spirit gives power to witness. Acts 1 and 8, it says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Did you hear me? You got power not to run the aisles and shout and play the piano and get on the phone and gossip and do this or that. God didn't even just give you power to preach, teach, and do the works of the church. He gave you power to do the works of the church. You didn't catch it. Not at the church house. The church outside in the world. Power has been given for a purpose, not merely to feel God's presence, but to proclaim God's message. Somebody say, he's working. If you'll let him flow through you, you're going to see more people saved at your work than you could ever imagine. If you'll let him flow through you and do the work in your mouth and let you proclaim who Jesus is, I'm here to tell you, you're going to be fruitful and you're going to multiply. We've got to understand that generational Christianity is more powerful than the reproduction of rats. How many generations do we have here in this church? We got maybe a great-grandpa, grandma, a grandma, a mom and dad, children, right? That's four generations. That's about, is any great-great-grandparents here? Anybody a great-great-grandpa, grandma? You are, Sister Sue? That's five generations represented in this church. Sister Sue, I was hoping a man would have raised his hand. Statistically, it was going to be hard. I'm not going to ask you how old you are. Praise the Lord. 87 years old, be 88 in October. For 88 years, I'm just going to give you to October. For 88 years, it's taken that long to make five generations. Did you get that? That's a long time. What if the church operated that way? And it took us 88 years for us to get five people saved. But here's the power of what the Lord gave us with the Holy Spirit. If I'm a first generation born again believer and nobody else in my family or my friends believes, but I believe in God and the Spirit of the Lord's working on me, and I'm telling somebody at work, and Ben, stand up if you will, and I tell Ben, hey, let me tell you what Jesus did. And I begin to preach to him and I begin to show him. I got saved on Sunday. Well, next Sunday, Ben comes to church. And Ben's here and we're friends. And he says, man, I'm really feeling like I need to repent. And I need to do. Well, the Holy Ghost is working, right? He's got his hard hat on, chiseling away at that old hard heart. But he's got him softened up and he's got him born again. Well, on Monday, when we go back to work, Ben and I are both excited talking about what the Lord did. And Ben goes and shares something with Christian. Stand up, Christian, and tells Christian, look what Jesus has done in my life. And so right there in the break room on Monday morning, Christian is talking to me and Ben, what about this Christian stuff? What does this mean to be born again? And we share it with him. We don't have to wait 9 months. We don't have to get somebody to church on Sunday. We don't even have to wait 24 hours. We can say, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you what he did. Let me show you what the Holy Ghost can do. And then three people in a week and a day. So then us three, we're out and about. And then Christian goes home and his friend Brooklyn. And then Ben goes by and his son's over there. And then I'm over here and I say, hey, come here. I want to tell you about Jesus. Well, then we all show up to church on Sunday, and what do we have? Six generations of Christianity in a week. I could use this example for about five more minutes, and there would be nobody left in this church that's not up here. Y'all can sit down. But I want you to hear me out. The Holy Spirit is who is working and who is giving you power to talk. But here's what's beautiful about the Holy Ghost. He's not in one place at a time, but he's everywhere all the time. So while he's working on me on what to say, he's working on somebody else on what to hear. And he's breaking down the walls and he's breaking down the problems and the things that would keep somebody from hearing. And the Spirit is preparing the ground for the sower to show up with the seed. So when you get there, you don't have to argue. You don't have to conjure up some big thing. You just tell what the Spirit says, and it takes root. Does this make sense? This is not just, we're called to witness not just at home, not just at work, in the community, and around the world. Luke 24 and 49, be endued with power from on high. The Holy Ghost is giving you power to accomplish extraordinary kingdom works. The Holy Ghost is not inactive. He ain't lazy. He's working. He has an ongoing ministry in the life of every believer. He convicts. He testifies of Christ. He shows the things to come. He gives us power. He comforts. The question is not whether the Holy Spirit is working. The question is whether we're yielding and giving him the permits to do what he can do. The commandment in Ephesians chapter 5, 18, it says, be filled with the Spirit. I'm going to circle back to my first point this morning, comfort. Tammy, if you'd come for just a moment. Some of you in this place, you're dealing with issues, you're dealing with pain, you're dealing with problems. I know Sister Holly, her brother-in-law is laid up in a hospital down in Dallas. Doctors have said he's brain dead, he's not going to make it, he's not going to live. But we're going to pray this morning. She's going down there. We're going to anoint a handkerchief. We're going to believe that the same Holy Ghost that invaded that tomb and rose Jesus from the dead can come into that hospital bed and raise that mind back perfect. We're going to believe for that. But some of you today, some of you are dealing with things, and you say, I need comfort. I need a miracle. I need help. The Holy Ghost is working. Even when I don't see it, he's working. Even when I don't feel it, he's working. He never stops. He never stops working. So all over this place, if you just raise your hand and say, Brother Shelby, I got a need this morning, and I need the Holy Spirit to work it out for me. I just want to see those hands this morning. Praise the Lord. Hands up all over this place. If we were to be honest, we could all say that. But some of us say, I'm ready to see something different. The difference in you sitting there and saying, I've got a need, and getting it sometimes is just faith enough to move. faith enough to step out, faith enough to receive. So this morning, if you say, Brother Shelby, I need a miracle and I need it now, and I've got enough faith to put my feet to moving, I'm going to put my actions where my mouth is. And I just want you to step out. We're not going to ask you to close your eyes or hang your head or bow down and be pitiful. I'm just saying, if you need something from Jesus, I want you to come. And we're going to call for some prayer partners and some prayer warriors to come along with us. And we're going to lay hands on you. We're going to pray the prayer of faith. And we're not going to work it out. We're going to let the Holy Ghost do it for you, because He's the only one that can. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit, says the Lord God of hosts. So praise the Lord. If you need something, just right here at the front, just gather up, and we'll come together and we'll pray. Praise Jesus. Up this way. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God, we call life into that body. We call function into that brain. We speak right now, live and not die, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord God, that you're the healer. I thank you that you can raise him up. And we stand on your word. We believe this morning that all things are possible. Have your way. Work it out, Jesus. Work it out, Jesus. Father, you see my brothers here this morning. God, I thank you, Lord, you know the situations, you see the needs, God, and I thank you that you're doing it. You're working it out, God. You're taking care of it right now, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that nothing is impossible for you. I thank you that there's nothing that the devil can do to stop it. But, Lord, you do what you need to do, God. Work it out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I love you. Jesus loves you. Be back here tonight, 6 o'clock. We have church. Going to have a good time and praise the Lord. Y'all can pray as long as y'all need to. Y'all be blessed.